I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hey, welcome back. Gorgeous Friday afternoon here in Kansas City. From the New York Post, we're going to get into the Wyandotte High School teacher who was assaulted trying to break up a fight between two students in just a few minutes. Let class get out. Let the teachers get into their cars if they're getting out a little bit early. Everything is in a pickle. From the New York Post, Jimmy John's has revealed its latest menu item that pickle lovers everywhere are sure to be relishing over. On October 24th, I believe that is yesterday, the restaurant announced the Pickle Witch, an innovation that combines their signature sandwiches with their fan favorite Jimmy Pickles.
Oh, I cannot wait to try one, but only if it's the real deal.
Okay, out.
As the name suggests, the Pickle Witch is a sandwich that uses pickles instead of bread. The Pickle Witch will be available to customers nationwide starting October 28th through November 14th.
How big are these pickles?
Apparently quite large.
It's going to be the bread.
The Vito Pickle Witch contains salami, provolone cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, basil, oil, vinegar.
I'm going to need one Italian nightclub. No, extra Jimmy peppers, please.
I don't want a pickle on my salami. That just, it's then when you hold it, it's a mess.
Pickles are gross.
The bun, I don't mind pickles, but not as the bun.
Oh, I love pickles.
We know you eat them every day.
I do. They were out this week. I was sad.
Jimmy John's is not the only sandwich joint hopping on pickle mania. Local New York deli Seven Brothers Gourmet on Long Island has been making pickle sandwiches since January.
Sam,
yes.
Are you a bread and butter pickle kind of guy or the dill kind of guy?
I go for the straight up dill when I bring it to lunch.
My grandmother,
the healthier, the better,
used to make and can the sweet bread and butter pickles, make like slice the cucumbers, can them, do the added green food coloring. I have never since had a pickle that good.
I'm a big spicy pickle guy too.
I don't mind them. I just don't think they should replace the bun.
I got to be honest, though. I will never order this sandwich.
Why?
Despite my love for pickles. It sounds like the messiest attempt to eat a sandwich I've ever heard in my life.
As you pick up a sandwich, Scott, your fingers would be on the top and the bottom of a wet pickle. That's just gross.
You don't think they dry it out a little bit?
No.
God, I hope not. I'm not going to say
that. That's just gross. No, I'm not in.
Okay. I almost had a Danaism, and I'm not going to do it.
Let's not go there today. Well, it's Friday. We had enough of those during the body of the week to get us through for a while.
I think she just dropped one about 20, 30 seconds.
A couple ago. Of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NBC News, protesters are demanding an apology, and a Washington, D.C. pizza shop has been vandalized amid the controversy over an ad campaign that makes light of the late Mayor for Life, Marion Barry's drug use.
Oh, God.
Washington-based And Pizza, it's an ampersand with the word pizza after it, promoted a new menu item on Monday called Marion Berry Knots, a dessert with Marion Berries. The dish is, and I'm quoting here from the restaurant, the dish is so good, it's likely a felony.
Okay.
For a good time, they go on to say, it's the powder that's the ultimate headline grabber. The Marion Berry Knots have enough powdered sugar that will have customers bumping elbows to order and even force the DEA to look twice. Demonstrators gathered Wednesday morning outside the shop on U Street, calling for And Pizza to remove the dessert from its menu and to apologize.
Is it ever okay to make fun of someone's death and under an incredibly, incredibly narrow set of circumstances, even for comedians? I would say generally you avoid that, and certainly in advertising you avoid it.
Hmm. Yes, in advertising, but when you said comedian, I thought just about everything was fair game for a comedian.
Mm.
The Holocaust, I think, is off limits.
Yeah, there was a Joan Rivers quote joke that I think
comedians have gone there before.
Was absolutely horrible. Regarding the Holocaust. I just, even with individuals and certainly with drug use and all of that, I just, maybe as I get older, I'm just getting more, I don't know, prude when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Again, I go back to what I said to you about this time last hour. Who are you?
I told you, I don't know, 8 months or a year ago, I was in a parking lot across from a very popular bar in South Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And that parking lot also happens to house a small community ER, like the kind that, like, in an extreme emergency, they're still open.
Yeah.
But if you need, like, a heart transplant, they're going to probably chopper you out of there, right?
Sure.
And I was walking into the bar, you know, passing this row of cars that was adjacent to this community hospital, and the bumper sticker on one of the cars. This is a bumper sticker.
Okay.
My jaw hit the floor.
What did it say?
I Narcan'd your honored student. And I walked in, and, you know, I had a girlfriend, some buddies that were there. And I go, I am now finally old enough that certain things are not even remotely funny to me, and I cannot believe. Yeah. And we don't know that that was a staff member of the ER, but it was sort of parked adjacent to where you would go to this spot. I said, there's nothing funny about ODing on fentanyl or heroin in Kansas City.
Oh, I've seen that bumper sticker many times.
Nothing funny.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Did you leave him a note?
The gall you would have to have that on your car as a healthcare provider, the nerve that you have, knowing that you're going to be in traffic, as bad as that epidemic is, you're probably going to pass someone in traffic who has lost someone to an accidental overdose. Wow.
But there's no chance that this was somebody who was in the bar?
If they're Narcanning your honors student, that says to me...
They're either an EMT or a cop. Probably not a nurse, right?
Someone in healthcare, or I suppose we have Narcan in schools now. And I just thought, wow, that's A, not funny, and B, you're going to get the reaction you're looking for, but probably times 10,000 if the wrong person sees that.
No, well, I agree with you on that. But it could have been, I mean, I've seen bumper stickers that say, you know, my kid beat up your honor roll student. Well, that probably never happened. In fact, I would bet it never happened.
Could it also be, and this might be a stretch, a campaign of saying that fentanyl doesn't discriminate?
It didn't say underneath that, call 1-800-whatever if you need help with drugs. Like, okay. It was to me more of a, you know, and I just thought, wow, of all the things to put on your car.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. When we get back, you will hear from the teacher herself, a Wyandotte County public school teacher, was assaulted in class trying to break up a fight. She's pretty seriously injured, taking time off work. We'll get to that story in just a moment. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, story here from Fox 4. A Kansas City, Kansas teacher was assaulted in the classroom this week, apparently. Now she's on part-time medical leave and sharing her frustration, claiming that the school district is not doing enough to solve a significant problem. Nikki Actopus said that if she wanted to brawl, she would have signed up to be an MMA fighter, but instead was thrust into the middle of a fight at work. Here is... Nikki speaking with Fox 4.
Nikki Actopus has taught for 5 years, but what would happen on September 5th is something she never imagined could happen.
So at this point, I had gotten one of the girls towards the door before it turned into what you're seeing.
It's the last period.
Okay, so there it is. She is a science teacher, started trying to get the students out of the classroom. As the girls were still screaming at each other, another student was instructed to go get a principal. And that's when the chaos ensued. She said, I have my kid close to the door and I'm about to open it and I hear you B-word. And I'm like, oh no. The girl she told to leave the class, whom Actopus says should not have been in there from the beginning, you can see that young lady start swinging in the video. From there, it is all a blur before another fight breaks out in the classroom just minutes later. Fox 4 reached out to Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools. By the way, this was at Wyandotte High School, asking a series of questions, including if charges could or would be filed. The statement from the district says, we can confirm that an incident occurred at Wyandotte High School. This is a student and employee matter, and we have no further comment.
Oh, I completely disagree that this is a student and an employee matter. This is a police matter.
Actopus will return to being a full-time teacher after recovering from several injuries, including a hit to her head. Uh-huh.
Does she have to continue teaching her abuser? What happens, and you can remain anonymous because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, and I'm, you know, the fact that she even spoke to the media.
Gutsy play on her part.
Is a gutsy play on her part. What happens when there is an assault on school grounds? Does the school security, quote, handle it? Because to me, if that happened off school grounds, that's assault and battery. Yeah. That's battery. So why is it any different because it happened at school?
I don't think it is any different because it happens at school. If there was a sexual assault at school, would the parents be okay if the district said, we're going to handle this in-house? We got it. There's no need to get the police involved in this. Of course not. Of course not. Now, I will say this. I'm not sure if I was her, I would go talk to the local media.
Listen to this. KCKPS has its own police department.
They do.
So if charges would be filed or an investigation were to happen, the district would lead that. But to this point, she says none of the above has happened. Okay.
Which, by the way, is not out of the ordinary. Shawnee Mission has their own police department.
Correct.
However, you know, we had sworn officers of the law as SROs in our school. And one time there was a felony theft.
Okay.
And that but they are actual police officers from Overland Park,
right,
that work as SROs within the body of the school. They took the report. They sent it off to the prosecutor's office, Johnson County. You know, I think kid got diversion or whatever, had to go to some anger management classes, and we were done. When it's something like someone's being physically assaulted, that's not theft of a cell phone,
right,
physically assaulted, does the internal police department still handle that, Sam? And then move that along to the Wyandotte County District Attorney's Office?
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Because the school has an interest in not letting this become a news item, right? Any school. I'm not talking about this school. But when something like this happens on school grounds, if I was the victim of something like this, I would be more comfortable filing a police report at the police department, brick and mortar.
But you just said something.
KCK,
you
police
said this,
department.
The school district has an interest, I believe was the word you used, in kind of keeping this low-key.
Yeah, let's keep this in-house.
Under the radar. But don't parents have a right to know that there was an incident in their kid's school? That there was a big fight? A teacher ended up having to go to, I don't know if she went to the hospital or go home.
I don't know if they sent an email on this, but there's no way they're going to, you know, they will, I don't say this, but I will. They will hide behind student privacy.
And employee privacy.
You know, we would get an email every once in a while that, like, there was an incident today, super unfortunate, EMS had to be called. While we are not able to discuss the nature of the incident,
right,
you know, everyone is fine. And then I would ask my kids, what the heck happened today? Well, some kid choked at lunch. Okay. You know, so if kids were upset or you saw an ambulance there, this is why. But it would be very vague. It wouldn't even say the nature of the incident. It would just say there was an incident.
You know, I'm curious. I've never been in education. I have a number of friends who are in education. What is the policy as to how involved you're allowed to get between two students who are fighting? Because it's inevitable.
Well, haven't we been told you're not allowed to fight back, that you cannot lay hands on any kid for any reason?
So are you allowed to pull a student off of another student if they're pummeling them like an MMA fighter?
I witnessed three fights pretty up close. I was on the inner circle watching the fight in my high school days. And all three times, the very large administrators, the biggest ones, obviously, would come in and separate the students physically.
They would
and
separate
they
them.
They would get swung on. They got hit. I watched an administrator get punched in the face.
Oh, my God.
Because they don't stop swinging when you start separating them.
But you can separate. You don't have to go, you stop doing that behavior.
you're
going to get a demerit.
They physically separated them.
But at their own risk.
But again, these were large men.
Yeah.
you know.
But do you, so if the teacher is, say, a woman, does she have to, and there's two, you know, football players fighting, does she have to call for the larger men teachers to come running down to her room?
I think whoever's there has to do what they can to stop it, don't they?
All three that I witnessed went on until an administrator arrived. One of which was right in front of the administrator's office. Idiots. The other two were very far away, and the fight went on. As teachers were trying to get them to stop, the fight went on until the administrators arrived and separated them.
Oh, good God.
Okay, telephone number here is 913-586.
File this under why no one wants to teach.
7798. One of many reasons why no one wants
to. First of all, the student loans to get your master's in education. Mm-hmm. Then you hear stories like this. I want her to have district support. We're not saying she doesn't, but why have charges not been filed up to this point?
It was during the last period of the day at Wyandotte High. Three girls were in class arguing when they stepped in to tell the one, or when she stepped in to tell the one who wasn't supposed to be in the class to leave. And that's when all hell broke loose. She said she was between the two girls that were fighting. The one that she was facing is the one who hit her in the head, allegedly. The girl behind her was punching over her shoulder,
right,
trying to hit the girl in front of the teacher. This is not uncommon. I have heard stories from my friends who are teachers that, and I've never been a, you know, back in our day, everything was better kind of guy. I'm not. But from some of my teacher friends, the things that they're called, the language that is used toward them, if we had pulled that stunt when we were kids,
mm-mm,
my dad would have quartered me. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. That is also the text line number, if that is your preference, 913-586-7798. Festive Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gutsy move by her. Certainly hope there's no penalty for talking to the media, but a Kansas City, Kansas school teacher, she works at Wyandotte High School, was apparently assaulted in a classroom recently. Now she's on part-time medical leave and sharing her frustration. She claims the school district is not doing enough to solve a significant problem. Nikki Actopus said if she wanted to brawl, she would have signed up to be an MMA fighter. But instead, she was thrust into the middle of a fight at work.
If I remember correctly, KCK is the district that was exploring zooming in teachers from other parts of the country.
That's
because
correct.
They couldn't hire enough. Mm-hmm. So I would assume her job is safe.
I would also just like to note that this happened to be several females involved in this fight at Wyandotte. And then Sam, anecdotally, had his story about the three fights that he witnessed when he was in high school. All three of those fights were females.
Never once involved a male other than the administrators who broke up the fight.
What does that tell you?
I wonder if our teachers and educators will say the worst problem fights in school are always girls. I'm curious.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It would not surprise me either.
913-586-7798. Jim in Grain Valley. Jim, good afternoon. Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
My daughter has a very high position in a school district that each of the high schools has over 2,000 students in, okay? And a few weeks ago, I'd say about 4 weeks ago, a student threatened to shoot three girls in the head.
Oh, God.
Okay? So one of the girls came to my daughter and told her. My daughter got the SRO officer. They went and they got that student, and they asked him, did you make those threats on those three girls that you were going to shoot them in the head? And he said, yes. So my daughter wrote him up. She put him on suspension. She wanted to have him expelled, but the higher-ups at the superintendent level said, no, we're not going to suspend him. So the kid went back to school yesterday. Yeah, and me as a father, I have to worry about this shit.
Whoop, there you go. And we got one.
That's twice in one week.
Can't say that word on the radio there, Jim. Why? Why that young man was allowed to go back to school, Jim, I don't know. But I'm also going to put you on detention for 5 days for using bad words on the radio. And that includes Saturday school. We expect to see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
That's how we get in a fight with our boss. And by fight, I mean a massive fine.
Yeah.
There's no fight.
Always
we lose
one.
Every time.
You know what's... The funniest part about it is, though, never once in 18 years of this program has anybody succeeded in ever getting a word over the air that they're not supposed to use.
Nope.
I was screening another call and still hit the dump button 74 times.
Cat-like reflexes, Sam.
I'm quick.
Impressed.
I'm telling you.
Always got an ear on it.
I wish we knew when it would happen so Dana could film Sam and my reaction. When we hear an F-bomb or an S-bomb, it is borderline comedic. How quickly we jump. I mean, I was leaning way back in my seat, just enjoying the beautiful view out the window.
I wasn't, because as he was building up to that story, when he said, that's the kind of, I just knew he was going to let it rip. I knew he was going to let it rip.
He ripped it.
Yes, yeah, he did.
By the way, the green light's back on.
We're good to go? Are we good to go?
I mean, we could wait a little bit longer, but we're...
Just give me a show me on your hand how many seconds we're up.
We are currently at...
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Rick in Myrtle Beach. Keep it clean, brother.
Yes, sir, I will. Good afternoon,
Frank. Hi, Rick.
I taught at Lansing and Leavenworth High Schools, and the worst fights are with the girls, but I'll tell you two things real quick, if I may. When I taught in Richmond... I had one student who would throw chairs and such. And so they had the director of, I taught special education. They had the director of special education come in and observe. And, you know, the guy sitting back there, I mean, I wore a tie to work, but the guy sitting back there in his shirt and tie, well, the kid's not going to do anything while he's sitting back there. And the guy, after the hour's up, the guy comes up, the director comes up, well, I don't see any problem. Sometimes they just don't get it. And what I told Sam was years ago, and I believe it was D.C., they brought in an ed specialist from, 500 miles away, and he came in and he said, if you all had better lesson plans, we wouldn't have the trouble we have around here. And he really berated the teachers and thought he knew everything. Well, once they had him down on the ground and he was having to call for help with his radio, then the teachers, he respected the teachers a little bit more in their opinion as far as what needed to change in the school as far as discipline and such. Well,
Rick, I don't know how old you are, but you remember when we were back in school.
I'm 68.
Okay, so you remember back when we were in school, there was a paddle, and I was having this conversation with someone the other night about paddling. And I said, were you ever paddled? And he said, once. And I go, oh, do tell, right? Because we all remember those stories. Now, it would never happen today. And if I knew there was a paddle hanging somewhere in a school today, I mean, there would be problems today. But back then, he said, oh, the paddle, she didn't have to go get the paddle. The paddle was hanging on the wall by her desk. Like, they just hung it on the wall. And same age as you and I are, Scott. So, however, we would have been in fourth or fifth grade.
Fourth
the paddle
or fifth grade
was hanging on the wall.
Roughly 1982 for me.
And then he said the teacher would take the student out into the hallway, and whap, whap, and he said you could hear the echo because the hallways were those old brick, cinder block hallways. The echo reverberated down the entire hall.
So I did get swatted when I was in fifth grade. At Meadows Elementary School.
Oh, and what did you do to get swatted in fifth grade?
First of all, it was Mrs. Wilkerson, and I was at Meadows Elementary. And
you still remember what she looks like?
Yep. Yeah, I could pick her out of a lineup.
You remember what his butt looked like after she swatted him with the paddle?
What had happened was we were at lunch, and Mrs. Wilkerson was one of our lunchroom chaperones, or whatever you call them. and we were filing back into the classroom. Some kid, you know how you can force yourself to burp? You can inhale.
Yes.
I'm not going to do it on the air.
Please
don't.
Don't
worry about it. Anyway, this kid was just up in my grill all day, and he comes over. Mrs. Wilkerson had not entered into class yet. And we're all sitting down getting to our desks, and this kid is burping, forcing himself to burp into my face. And I said, cut it out. He kept burping in my face. So I turned around and spit in his, just as Mrs. Wilkerson walked into the class.
Oh.
Parks and whatever his name is, out in the hall. I knew it was coming. I was first. I got one swat, he got two. But it's not the swat that is the most embarrassing. When you're in fifth grade, getting spanked by a paddle by my teacher that I liked made me cry. And I walked back into the classroom with tears in my eyes. And I felt like a wimp. But there's nothing that will make you jump out of your seat more than when you're in class and the teacher's teaching, and unbeknownst to you, across the hall, someone else is about to get splinters in their butt, and it comes out, and all you hear is you're sitting in classes. What?
Is it worse, though, getting swatted? Because I never had it happen. I was a rule follower, Scott.
Of course.
Was it worse getting swatted or walking back into class after you were swatted? Is the humiliation.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Did the other kids laugh?
No, but it was kind of like if you drive by somebody on the road and they're getting arrested. You're just like, sucks to be you.
Oh, man.
What did you do?
And
so I had to walk. The walk of shame from the door to the classroom to my desk, which was in the back over by the window, was the longest walk of my life.
Now, to be fair, the spitting back in his face was a bit of an overreaction.
What? I stand by that decision. Shane in Overland Park. Shane, hello.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, first off, I have to say I got many a paddlings in school. Because
many?
You either got a paddling or you got detention. And I heard my father coming to pick me up from detention, then going ahead and getting the paddling, and he never found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody hit harder than my dad.
Okay. Oh.
And do you think you're better off for it, Shane? Because I don't like hearing that.
Yes, ma'am.
You do? Okay.
I think the problem with schools now is they took corporal punishment out of schools. Ever since they took it out, schools have gone to the wayside with the children just going amok and doing whatever they want because the teachers have nothing, no recourse. They can't do anything. What are you going to suspend them from school so they get a vacation?
Well, if I ever got suspended from school, that would not be considered a vacation at my home at all. But I hear what you're saying, Shane. Donnie in Liberty. Donnie, hello.
How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Okay. So I said I think I might have an interesting perspective to offer on all this. So I work in a capacity in one school during the school year, and in the summer I work in a different school district, and I run a summer academic camp or something. And during the school year, I'm told very clearly, do not ever put your hands on a student. Don't matter what's happening, you got to stand there and watch it, call for the administrator. In the summer, I'm allowed to break up a fight because I guess I'm the highest ranking person of the program per the school's policies or whatever. And there's training that programs in this area will use called like CP something training for restraint. And basically I was told very directly and explicitly by my school year administration, if you try to break up a fight, you will be fired. Do not do it. And it's very shocking to me because you guys are talking about back in the day stuff, but I'm only 36. I don't think it's that long ago that I was a student to say it was an old era. But when I started teaching somewhere in like the mid-2010s or something, I was expected to break up fights as a student teacher, not even a fully licensed teacher. That was fully acceptable. And here we are just, 15, 20 years or so later, and we're told, if you even try to break up a fight, you will be fired. You might as well pack your desk.
Donnie, it's the same reason if you work at, Home Depot or Walmart or Lowe's, mm-hmm. you are told as a checkout person, you're not allowed to run after someone who's stolen a TV. It's liability. The schools don't want the liability.
But what is the liability for letting two students just fight until the fight is over? I mean, what if one of the students is a boy and one's a girl? What if one is 250 pounds and the starting center on the football team, and the other kid's a buck 20 nerd? I mean, you can't.
Why does he have to be a nerd?
All right, fine.
He's just saying if the balance in said fight
is unfair.
Yeah. Is yes. Or if one of them has a, you know, chair in their hand they're about to toss or something.
Or worse yet, a knife. Hit him with the chair.
But then even then, okay, now that's beyond a criminal matter. You want a teacher stepping in between two warring students with a knife?
I don't want a teacher to stand there and watch another kid get stabbed to death.
From the text line, if they're regularly getting suspended enough to have an OSS, it's probably not a very disciplined home.
Yeah, it's probably true. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's wrap up this conversation with a couple more calls, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. News coming up at the top of the hour. Festivus Friday coming your way in a little more than an hour. Alyssa in Overland Park. Hello.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. I think that what I was calling in and saying before was that I think that these kiddos now, they're very entitled. I mean, yeah, I think that sometimes, like, the parents of these kiddos, it could be their parenting, because sometimes you have a lot of estranged parents nowadays that don't know their kiddos' friends, things like that. But I think that it comes down to these kids just being entitled. I was in my kiddo's high school parking lot earlier this week, and when trying to get out of there, it's a nightmare because you've got these kiddos that literally they see that you're sitting there waiting to turn, and they literally get their car right up to you and almost hit you, and they jump the curbs. And then when you just kind of look at them like, what are you doing? They throw their hands up at you, and then they start cussing at you. So I can't imagine it's much different. I mean, it's on school property. I can't imagine them treating the teachers much differently. And I think it just comes down to kiddos these days, they're just entitled to a lot of things. Because I remember when that happened, I turned and I said to my kiddo, I said, don't you ever act like that. That's completely inappropriate. And it's kind of like what you had said earlier. Like, we just grew up at a time where we would have never thought about doing that to somebody.
Oh, hell no.
Are you kidding me? The ramifications and consequences once you got home would be so far worse than anything they would do to you at school.
And I honestly don't know if I feared my father or my mother more. They were wonderful parents. And, my father's passed, but I love them both dearly. But if I screwed up in school, I was going to get it when I got home. I tried my best to not, and sometimes I failed at this, but tried my best not to misbehave, because misbehaving in school meant I was going to take it at home. Margaret in Overland Park, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I love your show. Okay. I wanted to tell you about an experience I had in seventh grade. I used to be terrible at math and forgot how to do my problems. So my math teacher had me up at his desk and had a ruler, one of these big old long things. He called it Mr. Persuader. He bent me over his desk and spanked me in front of the class. And
oh, no.
About that time, a group of visitors came in, and he said, Lynn and I had a disagreement, and I won. And I was so mortified. I went home and told my parents, you know, that weekend I boarded at school because I'm blind. And my dad was furious, and we just about got him fired.
Margaret, I will say this. This is why, for everyone who says, oh, bring back corporal punishment, he should have been jailed for that.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. That's too much. What if the policy was, tell me if you'd be okay with this or not? Because corporal punishment is still on the law books in the state of Kansas, but the districts have banned it.
And Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. What if parents had to sign over a sort of a form that said, if my child misbehaves to the point where you think he or she should be swatted, I give my permission.
No.
You don't like that?
No.
How do we reel in the discipline? I'm not suggesting it's corporal punishment, just asking.
You know what I would have hated more than corporal punishment is having the Breakfast Club show up on a Saturday.
Yeah, sit in the library. Who's going to babysit him, though?
Pay somebody extra.
Yeah.
When we get back, a U.S. veteran has been kicked off of a flight in San Francisco over a T-shirt she was wearing. Oh, what? I'll tell you what the T-shirt said when we get back.
News is next here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.